Because, and I was just saying to Dan Karen, I think I'm rereading Aesthetic tonight. It took me the whole morning to get through the first 8 verses.
Yeah.
So I mean, what I'm going to do is to take this slowly. So if this suits you, what I'll do is to today slowly go through and like keep stopping to find out how you're with me and what additions there seems to be that have to be made. This one, Aesthetic du Mal, and then next week move out of that and into the Credences of Style. Now let's just say one two things about this first of all. What we're talking about, and I think, is this. If you want to get Stephen straight, I think one looks at this final dominating group of poems, by which I mean Notes Towards the Supreme Fiction, Aesthetic du Mal, Credences of Summer, and The Rock. And the clue is the sort of thing that is going on in contemporary science and philosophy at the end of the 19th century. And I understand I'm not saying that Wallace Stevens is a philosophical poet or some such ridiculous thing. I'm very careful saying that. Because he is an awful lot. You know, and it looks as though he might be versifying philosophy, but he's not. I think one of the tests of talking about Stevens, I'm speaking to myself now, is to understand just why this is not straight philosophy. Just what is, because we were talking about it just before it came, we didn't start, we got into the conversation, that there are problems with Stevens, I think, to my mind, about what sort of poetry this is. Now, Kim, I think you can say one thing straight away, that there is not an elaborate range of versification to be considered. There are reasonably subtle, reasonably developed changes on iambics. Right? I think we agree on that, I think. I mean, I don't think there's any question that the meaning structure comes out, for instance, like it does in the Walt Whitman line, of just exactly what the stresses and thrusts are in the meter that produce the individual voice, you know? And one thing you might be interested in, I think if you're looking at contemporary poetry, one must almost always hear those records, or like hear a tape. When I heard Wallace Stevens read on a record, a Longfellow record for the first time, the thing that struck me straight away was the way there's even less concern with metrical utterance, I mean feet utterance, you know what I mean, metrical utterance, in the reading, because the slowness of the speed with which he reads makes you even less aware of rhythm. It's as if each word came out like that and was surrounded by a little space. You see what I mean? That's a slight exaggeration, but that's how you feel about it. I mean, there's no like rhythmic thrust, you see, pouring it through, and stop, and then on again. There tends to be this very, very steady, slow, spaced out, deliberate rhetoric, in this particular way, which cuts right across even the very limited metrics inside the verse we've got at the moment. You see what I'm trying to say? Which means that you don't look there. You look at the very limited means, and then ask, okay, what are you doing with that? So, when one says that he has that range, I mean, go back to what I said just now, he's in fact concerned with some of the things that philosophers and scientists are concerned with being in the sense he can be in there. And I mean by that last bit, he's very concerned with what a man like Wittgenstein would call tautologies. I mean by that if you say that philosophy is descriptions, you have to carry that right through, which means that myths are descriptions, that science is descriptions, and that everything is descriptions, do you see? All of it. Which means that you have your heuristic analysis of religion, for start off. I mean by that, if you're saying, like any other mythological structure, that this is an invention. This is a descriptive invention by human beings. Now this poem, Aesthetic du Mal, one of the meanings of the word mal is obviously evil, but one of them, please notice, because when I ask myself, why is the title in French? The answer is the word mouth has a whole range of meanings, and that's where it starts. That could be an evil. And by golly, you can cut those Wallace Stevens critics who have noted that one out, and you've got about two left. And none of them include Frank Camus, we've got to say straight away. You know, I'm totally cynical about this, but, you know, that's where you start. Why is it in French that time? The answer is you wanted that range of meanings in the word mouth, that's all. You know. Okay, we start there. They haven't bothered these people. So we start out then with the fact that if you have a tautological, I mean, if you have in fact a humanistic system, you have a description of inventions and descriptions, no assumptions, no inheritance of traditions. He's very unlike Eliot, who's contemporary. What do you have? And the answer is, what you have in philosophy and science in the early part of the 20th century, that is, famous phrase that you find in one of Stevens' essays, life consists of propositions about life. And that word propositions, of course, is straight from linguistic philosophy. I mean, Wittgenstein's Tractatus Logicus Philosophicus is, in fact, seven propositions with amplifications. You can put it like this. If you dismiss metaphor, you reinstate it as total metaphor. That is, it's all metaphorical structure. This is what's going on in Wallace Stevens, in Charles Olson, in Zhukovsky. It's just the extreme opposite. I mean, Eliot accepts the metaphorical structures, doesn't he, all the time, of religion, history, philosophy, and so on. But if you say that there is nothing else, therefore there is, it's like if you say it is all metaphor, it means you've got, as it were, instead of saying this is a metaphor of that, you've got this but not that. You see, if you say this means that, and you start off with the metaphorical structure, it implies that there's something else besides the metaphor. Now, whilst David Stevens is saying in a very contemporary way, there isn't. So the two things then, this life consists of propositions about life, and this dismissal of metaphor, and the reinstatement of the idea of metaphor as total metaphor, there's nothing else, so it becomes a tautology. Because it isn't a metaphor of anything, it's just what human beings are capable of. Now this is Wallace Stevens' main theme, right? The humanistic analysis in that way. So he has to adopt then, and this is the structure of all his major poems. Which is why he's a minor poet, because he has a single theme and a single method, and that is a dialectical method of inquiry into what could possibly be believed, given that knowledge is all metaphor. It's all tautology. That limits you very much if you're a poet, unless you're Charles Olson, but your range of materials is much higher. That is, what is the structure of information such that you move towards possible beliefs and not away from them? What is that process? And this is what makes him a very interesting poet. Why do we have to go through that process still? In L'Esthétique du Mal, he says, like, you know, Satan was a tragedy for the death of Satan was a tragedy for the imagination. But he's not content with saying, he wants to know, well, why was it? And why do you still have to go through the process of inventing beliefs when there isn't a belief which is like tangible and fixed? So he's concerned with what the philosophers call epistemology, that is, the theory of the origins of knowledge, to say this kind of thing. I still insist that he's not a philosopher because, in fact, this is not systematic. This is structures of a wide range of information within the language which isn't clear in the way that philosophical language is clear. That is, you can substitute language for mathematical symbols. You see, I'm putting this as a preliminary, I understand, so that we know what we're talking about. That there's certain things that you won't expect in modesty, you won't get it. You certainly don't, after the major poems in Harmonium, which is what, 22, 23? There's very little development. I mean, I challenge anybody to the Father to give you a range. Like quite at random in the collected poems. I mean, really at random. Just like take one every 20 pages, something like that, to tell me when they were written in that career. Do you see what I mean? This man strikes his form very early. The main change inside his structure of his career is that after a while he gives up poems like The Emperor of Ice Cream and Bantams in Pine Woods. That is, with their very elaborate symbolic structures of a very condensed kind. So there's a pile-up on the line of puns and Joycean symbolic elaborations. And so but I mean, if you were to say something silly, like he clarifies his style, you'd be wrong, because at the same time as he's doing that, there's a poem that he's going to continue doing all his life, you see. I think there's only one development file I can see, and that is that slowly and gradually the number of poems of that elaborate kind, like Bantams in Pine Woods and The Emperor of Ice Cream, get less and less, and that's all. But I might have to say less and less, because now and then he files away like that towards the end of his career as well. There's a poem about a pineapple, which he gave to a rather puzzled audience at Yale at the end of his life too. Okay, yes, indeed. So that's the kind of thing. Right. Now, so again then, you will get poems which are series, like Notes Towards a Supreme Fiction, 13 Ways of Looking at Blackbird, Man with a Blue Guitar, Credence of Summer. I mean, a good title for Credence of Summer would be a series of credences about the idea of summer. Do you see? Credences. It's like this implication of possible beliefs, do you see? But it's a series structure. And again, Wallace Stevens's poems are a series structure. That is,